Chapter 4. Into India and Across It. The Mongolia seemed likely to reach Bombay on time. What was Phileas Fogg doing all this time on the ship as it made its way to India? He ate his 4 large meals every day, and he played whist endlessly, for he had found partners as interested in the game as he was. As for Passepartout, he also enjoyed the voyage. He took great interest in the scenes through which they were passing. He was pleased on the day after leaving Suez to find on deck the man whom he had met on the quay. Passepartout approached the gentleman and said, "If I am not mistaken, you are the man with whom I spoke at Suez?"
"Ah, yes, I recognize you too. You were the servant of the strange Englishman."
"That is correct, monsieur."
"Fix, Monsieur Fix," said Passepartout. "I'm happy to find you on board. Where are you going?"
"Like you, I'm heading to Bombay," replied Detective Fix. "It's a curious place. I hope you will have time to see the sights."
"I hope so, Monsieur Fix, but I'm not so sure," said Passepartout. After this meeting, Passepartout and Fix got into the habit of chatting together, and Fix made a point of gaining the servant's confidence. Meanwhile, the Mongolia was pushing forward rapidly. On Sunday, October 20th, the ship hauled up at the quay of Bombay. The Mongolia was due at Bombay on the 22nd, but she arrived on the 20th. This was a gain to Phileas Fogg of 2 days since his departure from London. The passengers of the Mongolia went on shore at 4:30 p.m. At exactly 8 that evening, the train would start for Calcutta along the general route of the Great Indian Peninsula Railway. Mr. Fogg left the steamship, gave Passepartout several tasks to do, and urged him to be at the train station before 8 p.m. He then went off to get a visa for his passport. As for the wonders of Bombay, and there were plenty, Mr. Fogg didn't want or need to see them. While Mr. Fogg and Passepartout kept busy, Detective Fix promptly went to the Bombay police office and made himself known there as a London detective. He asked if a warrant had arrived from London. It had not reached the office yet. He then tried to obtain a warrant from the director of the Bombay police. This was refused, as the matter of the robber concerned only the London police. Fix did not insist, but simply waited for the arrival of the important document. However, he was also determined not to lose sight of the mysterious crook as long as he stayed in Bombay. After listening to his master's orders, Passepartout went off and purchased the usual specific number of shirts and shoes. He was on his way to the railway station when he happened to spot a beautiful pagoda. He decided to view the inside of it. He did not know, however, that some religious followers are not allowed to enter certain Indian temples, and that even the faithful must not go in with their shoes on. Passepartout, thinking nothing of it, went in the temple like a simple tourist. Suddenly, he looked up to see 3 angry priests who tore off his shoes and began yelling at him. The Frenchman lost no time in rushing out of the pagoda as fast as his legs would carry him. At 8:05, Passepartout, hatless, shoeless, and having lost his package of shirts and shoes in the argument, rushed into the train station. Fix, who had followed Mr. Fogg to the station, saw that he was ready to leave Bombay. Passepartout didn't see the detective as he explained to Mr. Fogg why he was so late.
"I hope this will not happen again," said Phileas Fogg coldly as he got into the train.
Passepartout quietly followed his master. Fix was about to hop on the train too, when he had an idea which led him to alter his plan.
"No, I'll stay here for now," Fix said to himself. "A crime has been committed on Indian soil. I've got my man."
The train then blew its whistle and pulled out of the station into the night. Passepartout rode in the same train car as his master, and a 3rd passenger occupied a seat opposite them. This was Sir Francis Cromarty, a general in the corps, and one of Mr. Fogg's whist partners from the Mongolia. Up to their arrival at Bombay, Passepartout had wished the journey would end there, but now that they were moving across India at full speed, a sudden change happened.
he soon came to believe in the reality of his master's bet, and therefore the urgency of making the tour without fail within the assigned time period. Already he began to worry about possible delays and accidents which might happen on the way. He became personally interested in the wager and trembled at the thought that his foolish behavior at the pagoda the night before could have cost his master time. The train stopped at 8 a.m. in the middle of an open area where there were several small houses and workmen's cabins. The conductor, passing along the cars, shouted, "Passengers, we'll get out here!" Passepartout rushed out of the train and speedily returned, shouting, "Monsieur, no more railway!" Sir Francis stepped out of the train, while Phileas Fogg calmly followed him. They went to find the conductor.
"Where are we?" asked Sir Francis.
"At the small village of Colby," replied the conductor.
"Do we stop here?"
"Yes, of course. The railway isn't finished."
"What? Not finished?" asked Sir Francis.
"No, there's still 50 miles of track to be laid from here to Allahabad, where the line begins again," said the conductor.
"Yet you sell tickets from Bombay to Calcutta?" said Sir Francis, who was getting angry.
"No doubt," replied the conductor. "But the passengers know that they must provide their own means of transportation from Colby to Allahabad."
"Sir Francis," said Mr. Fogg, "we will, if you please, look about for some means of transportation to Allahabad."
"Mr. Fogg, this is a delay greatly to your disadvantage," said Sir Francis.
"Not at all," replied Mr. Fogg. "I knew that some obstacle or other would sooner or later arise on my route. I have 2 days which I have already gained to use. A steamship leaves Calcutta for Hong Kong at noon on October 25th. It is now the 22nd, and we will reach Calcutta in time."
The greater part of the travelers were aware of the railway ending here, and, leaving the train, they began to hire any vehicles that the village could provide, such as wagons, carriages, ponies, and whatnot. Mr. Fogg and Sir Francis searched the village from end to end, but they came back without having found anything. Passepartout had also been looking around for something to travel in or on, and after a moment's hesitation said,
"Monsieur, I think I've found a means of transportation. It's an elephant."
"Let's go and see the elephant then," replied Mr. Fogg.
They soon reached a small hut, near which was an enclosure with the elephant in it. An Indian man came out of the hut and, at their request, took them into the enclosure. Keone, as the elephant was called, could travel rapidly for a long time, and because they had no other options, Mr. Fogg decided to hire him. Elephants are far from cheap in India, especially because very few of them are trained. When Mr. Fogg proposed to the Indian to hire Keone, he refused. Mr. Fogg finally proposed to purchase the animal. At £2,000, the owner agreed. All that remained was to find a guide, which wasn't too difficult. A young Indian man offered his services. The elephant was soon prepared for the journey. Provisions were purchased in Colby, and at 9 o'clock that morning, they set out from the village, the animal stepping heavily through the dense forest.